Good day, and welcome to the KUKA AG Q2 2011 Financial Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Andreas Spitzauer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm Andreas Spitzauer, Head of Investor Relations of KUKA. Today, Dr. Reuter, CEO, and Mr. Schuler, CFO, are with me to discuss the results with you. Today's presentation is also available on our homepage, www.kuka.com/investorrelations. With this, I'd like to hand over to Dr. Reuter.
Thank you, Andreas. Dear ladies and gentlemen, I warmly welcome you to our presentation of the financial results of KUKA for the first nine months of 2011. I'm here in Tokyo today, so hopefully we have a good line and you can hear me clear and loud. In Japan is currently the IREX conference, so it's an occasion to meet all the other robotic companies and see what the latest trend is. Starting with the presentation, it's very important that the willingness of our customers to invest remains high, and we are thus very satisfied with the overall development of the first nine months. To the highlights. In the first nine months of 2011, KUKA was able to generate orders received totaling 1.22 billion, an increase of 41% compared with the same period of the previous year. Once again, the development in robotics was particularly pleasing. With orders received of 175 million in Q3, the company again achieved a very high level. The group was also able to increase sales significantly, recording an increase of 37% to 1 billion. Driven by the positive development in sales and the higher utilization rate, we have also improved EBIT still further. After 13 million in the first nine months in 2010, we achieved more than 50 million in the first nine months in 2011. The EBIT margin too has continued to develop equally satisfyingly, reaching 5.2% in the last quarter. Earnings after tax also benefited from this development and showed a turnaround of around 30 million, from -11 million in the first nine months 2010 to +20 million in the first nine months 2011. Free cash flow was 2 million positive in Q3. In the first nine months of 2011, altogether, it was -33 million due to the very strong business development and the related increase in working capital. For the full year, we are still aiming for a positive free cash flow, which is ambitious considering the strong increase in orders received. We are still aiming for the positive one. As you can see from the results, our profitable growth continued. We are very confident for our guidance 2011. We are planning to achieve sales of at least 1.2 billion, and to be more concrete, we are expecting something around 1.35 billion by the end of the year. Accordingly, we should then achieve an EBIT margin of at least 5%. Once again, guidance sales 1.35 billion, EBIT at least 5%. Orders received. Growth in new orders has been consolidated at a high level in Q3, at a level of +20% compared with 53% in the first half of 2011. This development was foremost driven by robotics. We have thus outperformed the mechanic engineering sector, VDMA in Germany, which rose 8% in the same period. For us, book-to-bill is important. Means the ratio of new orders to sales. In Q3, we achieved a figure of 1.03 despite record revenues. The robotic and automation market of VDMA experienced an increase of 26%, significantly higher than the rest of the mechanical engineering sector. Robotics saw a rise in line with this in new orders of 27% to 175 million euro. An important part for us are the BRIC countries, and today we have one slide focusing on BRIC. Since taking office, Stefan and I have focused particularly on the accelerated development in the BRIC countries, where we see potential for KUKA that has only been partially realized to date. As you can see from the growth rates, sales +165% and personnel +60% in the first nine months, we have already made significant progress. Today, I would like to take a particular look at Brazil, where we are already an established player, but also have untapped potential. In the robotics market, we are market leader in the general industry with a market share of around 50%, and have also a very good business record with our automotive customers, where we have a market share of around 25%. Both numbers are from 2010. Furthermore, Brazil has a very low robot density. That means we see a big potential for the future, because robot-based automation in Brazil is still in its early days. So if you look at the density, you have in Brazil you have 6 robots per 10,000 employees. If you compare it with Germany or Japan, you have 250 to 300, so it's factor 40, factor 50. On the system side, the announced investment volumes of our major car manufacturers, or our main customers in the system side, we are seeing volumes announced above 5 billion for the next years. And we see very good future prospects, especially for the body in white segment of systems. So we have already a good footprint. We are established in Brazil. We have a track record, and we also are prepared to gain further contracts. On the sales side, as in the previous quarter, sales growth continued in Q3. Once again, the growth rate was well into double figures. Driven by the strong increase in new orders, sales were up 35% on the previous year to 369 million, a new all-time high. In the first three quarters, the sales share from the BRIC countries increased from 9% in 2010 to 18% in 2011. Robotics and systems are currently working both with high capacity utilization due to the high demand. Therefore, order backlog has continued to rise, now totaling approximately 800 million euro, which notionally represents a level of activity for more than 7 months on a group level. That means we have capacity for long into next year, into 2012. We have implemented further measures to expand the capacity and expect to increase the output at year-end 2011. One thing which we explained to you are, for example, the production capacities on the robotic side in China. On the EBIT line or EBIT level, profitability has continued to rise. EBIT more than doubled from 8 million in Q3 2010 to 19 million in Q3 2011. The group EBIT margin has also improved accordingly, reaching 5.2% in the past quarter. We, Stefan and I, see ourselves as being fully on course to meet our target EBIT margin of at least 5% for the year, driven by high utilization and the advantage of the cost reduction program of the last 2 years, plus clearly our product momentum. Coming to the key figures, EBITDA more than doubled too, reaching 69 million in the first 9 months 2011, compared to 30 million in the year 2010. The increased business volume requires increased investment. We are nevertheless proceeding in a very focused manner. CapEx in the first 9 months was 17 million compared to 8 million in the previous year. For the whole year of 2011, we are expecting, accordingly to our comments in the past calls, investments of a total of 2 to 3% of sales. The workforce rose by 11% from 5,850 people September 2010 to around 6,500 end of September 2011, and therefore rose at a rate considerably lower than that for the increased new orders and sales. The increased workforce is accounted for particularly by robotics of around 450 people in Hungary, where the Cabot manufacturing plant is, service and R&D. Systems increased headcount by some 180, particularly in the general industry, and in energy and the airplane business. We are nonetheless being very careful to hold on to the cost savings we have achieved. Therefore, for example, we also increased the number of temporary workers, which increased from 715 to above 1,000. We have also a program where we partially taking on temporary workers as permanent employees, which is for the robot assembly in Augsburg. On the cash flow side, as mentioned, the cash flow was minus 33 million for the first 9 months. Reasons clear that the expansion of the working capital is due to the strong demand. Trade working capital, for example, is up around 95 million compared to the end of December 2010. Mainly receivables from construction contracts from systems, POC, increased by 72 million. But we see in Q3 already the growth of the working capital has slowed noticeably. So that's something where we also see in systems, we're expecting project progress to result in further invoices, order-related, higher payments, which would have a positive effect on the free cash flow in Q4 and then for the whole year. Both divisions, robotics and systems, have contributed very positive to the development over the past quarter and in the 9 months 2011. Robotics recorded a sales increase in Q3 of 40% to 166 million. This was attributed slightly greater measure to the automotive sectors and GI. That's also what we mentioned in the last call, that we expect in Q3 more out of automotive than GI business. The EBIT margin has improved steadily, reaching 8.6% in Q3. Margin was up despite the high revenue share from auto, well supported by the exchange rate effects and a better pricing quality. We are thus well on track to achieving our target margin of 10% and expect to reach this level for the whole year of 2012. Systems recorded sales growth of 21% to 208 million in Q3. Due to the longer lead times, we expect the higher levels of new orders to have a positive effect on the sales in the quarters to come. Always, as mentioned, it's later in the cycle. The EBIT margin remained constant in Q3 compared with the previous two quarters at 3.8%. On the one hand, this reflects higher costs resulting from an increased utilization of capacities in high-wage countries to keep pace with the strong growth rates. On the other hand, it's also additional costs arose through the expansion of the system location in Asia and America with the goal to increase the local content. That means that we, in the future, want and need less utilization of the high-wage countries and have more local content in the areas, in the regions where the growth is. For the whole year 2012, we expect an EBIT margin of 5% for systems. So here we are also on track. We are in both divisions on track. Having a look in the future, and therefore the growth trend on the robot-based automation is still on track. Economic experts are expecting some global economic growth to consolidate in 2012. Such a development is undoubtedly not only normal after this upswing we experienced recently. KUKA recorded clear double-digit growth in 2010 and also in 2011. And if something, if growth will consolidate and we will make use of the period to fine-tune our processes. We look at the VDMR for both 2012 VDMR and also the IFR, the International Federation of Robotics, are anticipating further growth. The latest IFR study predicts continuation and even renewed acceleration of the growth in 2013 and 14 as well. This development is driven very strongly by the emerging economies. The substantial wage increases in these countries have an effect on the boosting robot density there, which is still at a very low level compared to many countries. KUKA in particular is set to profit from this trend, from the boosting robot density and also from the further automation in these regions. We are on track and we are on a solid and robust footing. We track the development of our end customer markets and investment confidence closely. But it's very important to not be fluctuated by the day-to-day fluctuations, by the day-to-day day-to-day moments or messages. We have put KUKA on a solid, sound footing and are confident in our approach to possible future uncertainties. KUKA is prepared. Especially in the current boom phase of incoming orders, we have maintained discipline and build up our capacities in low-wage countries and with temporary workers in Germany. In combination with successful implementation of the cost reduction program, we now have a comfortable break-even EBIT level with sales of in the region of 1 billion to 1.05 billion. Furthermore, we have always been sure to invest in research and development, both at times of crisis and in years of strong growth. This means that we can now benefit from a strong and competitive product pipeline. There is real product momentum. We have the new Quantec, we have the lightweight, and we have further things in our pipeline. Coming to the guidance for 2011, we, Kukka, Stefan, and myself, and the team, we do not see any interruption or no interruption for the growth dynamic of the robotic-based automation. In automotive, we do not see any reduction of the model diversity. We see more models coming in the next years, and that's also driving our future business. Also, we see that very high investments are sustained in the BRIC countries. So we, on the one hand, we see limited growth in the U.S. and Europe, but we see really big investments in the BRIC countries. For the general industry, we see that the robotic-based automation is spreading in more and more industries. Therefore, the approach to grow the GI market further and to expand here is clearly one of our goals. The results in the first 9 months were very good from our point of view, and development in the markets remain dynamic. We are therefore highly confident of achieving our guidance for 2011. Sales of above 1.2 billion, especially we are anticipating sales of 1.35 billion and EBIT margin above 5%. Thank you very much so far for your attention, and Stefan Schulag and myself are looking forward to your questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow you all to signal. We'll take our first question today from Tim Rokossa of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. It's Tim Rokossa from Deutsche Bank. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, kicking off with an obvious one on the guidance. Is there a specific reason why we should assume that Q4 will be the weakest quarter in terms of revenues this year? Or is this just a reflection of you being cautious? And secondly, somewhat referring to that also, are there currently any areas, I mean, I understand that automotive is still doing very well, where you see a weakening in order intake at least? And secondly, on the robotics arm, 50% of your new orders came from the automotive side. Would you be willing to quantify the share of sales that came from automotive as well? And then lastly, the lead times in systems, how long are they at the moment? Thank you.
Let me answer the first question first concerning the guidance, because you mentioned that Q4 should be the lowest revenue quarter concerning our guidance. For sure, the one thing is we are conservative in our guidance, but what we know is that especially in the U.S. in the fourth quarter, we see lower revenues coming from the systems business in the body in white, body structures area. So we know that at least in this area, in body in white, the sales slowdown is expected. This is mainly based on the POC calculation. As you know, this always depends on materials you receive from sub-suppliers, which you add to your projects, and this then turns out into a percentage of completion, also the accompanying sales you realize in these orders. So the basic underlying issue is that we expect the lower sales, especially in the body in white in the U.S., which is a large part of our total group sales. Concerning robotics, the sales, and this is also something what we mentioned, I think, in the second quarter conference call, we have seen in the third quarter in sales a significant shift towards automotive. So in robotics, we had 48% of sales were from automotive, 34% from auto, and 18% from customer service. So you see it was heavily auto-loaded sales split in the third quarter. So far, my answer to these two questions.
think on the trend or on the dynamics of the market, and it's also what we mentioned, we still have the strong momentum in the automotive industry. We are tracking the weekly order intake in both areas, in automotive and also in China industry. You know, there are some not divisions, but some industries where we see clearly much lower growth, but since we do have a system partner model, so we are selling into various industries, we are not depending on, you know, besides automotive, we are not hanging on one special, like electronics or other industry. So what we are doing, we are screening the order intake, and we don't see any, currently no change in the trend. It's still an ongoing trend, which is very stable and which you also see now in the last month. On the lead time in robotics, lead time is between 3 to 4 months, and we have an order backlog of 800 million in total, which is systems in robotics, but for robotics, lead time is 3 to 4 months, on systems it's 9 months plus.
Great, thank you.
And our next question today comes from Michael Schaefer of Equinet. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. On your free cash flow target, you mentioned that you are still aiming for a positive free cash flow on the full year, although you now called it for the first time being an ambitious goal. I just want to understand what's the underlying assumption there. Do you still bank on significant down payments also received in Q4? I realize that Q3 has been a very pleasing one with regard to down payments. And on the CapEx side, what should we assume there? Well, you opened a very rather wide range of 27 to 40 million here. Given that you invested 17 million in 9 months, is it fair to assume that you rather go for the low end of this range? So some bit of granularity on your free cash flow guidance would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, first question was on the free cash flow target. So basically, what do we mean when we say it's challenging? Basically, we still have to fuel further growth. However, we stick to our target that we have free cash flow positive at the end of this year. Depends on majority two major items. So we have some significant payments in our existing orders where we have then some milestones achieved, for example, in delivery or final acceptance. This is always in the fourth quarter, then high noon time for heavy payments we receive from large orders in the systems business. This is mainly the reason because especially the OEMs normally also want to finish the projects until the end of the year, so that they are able to capitalize in their balance sheets and also the projects. So normally they want to finish the projects also year-end, and this triggers then payments. So this is the first factor. The second one is, as you mentioned already, for sure we see some potential currently concerning down payments, some changed payment behavior from the OEMs to our favor. We said that, especially in the last year, there was a difficult situation for us since KUKA was always in the sandwich position, that we have the low, the small suppliers and have the large OEMs, and we were stuck in the middle with the financing of the huge orders. This relaxed a little bit now since our major OEMs have very good liquidity positions and also relaxed the situation with the payment terms now. However, if a significant down payments do not appear, or if a large project slips with the acceptance into the next year, this could also then challenge our target of a positive free cash flow until the end of this year. But I want to mention once more that you have to take into account that with the updated guidance, we see a significant revenue increase of close to 300 million. So we have a heavy workload on the working capital investment, and normally if there is a normalized growth in the future, then you see also then no significant investment necessary into the working capital in the future periods. Concerning the CapEx side, currently I would expect CapEx rather in the range of 25 to 30 millions in this range. This depends also on how we go ahead with significant tangible asset investments, but also concerning then the capitalization of R&D projects. But today's estimation is a range of 25 to 30, rather.
Okay, thank you very much.
And for our next question, we go to Ulrike Scholz of UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I have a question on your current visibility. Given the lead times you just mentioned, is it right to assume that most of your order backlog will turn to revenues next year? And could you give us a feeling what impact blanket orders will have, what supportive impact? Then secondly, on your cost flexibility, you already mentioned the above 1,000 temporary workers you employ. Could you give us an additional feeling how flexible your cost structures are? We have the break-even level, for instance. And last question, your market share, your robotics market share in Brazil in the general industry looks pretty high to me. Is there something specific with that region?
Market share in Brazil, what was the last question, sorry?
Hello, the last question. Can you specify the last question once more?
Yeah, on the market, on your presentation, you quantified market shares in Brazil in general industry with slightly above 50%. I would have expected a lower market share in general industry. And is it driven by a specific development in Brazil, or is that a number we could you have in the other BRIC countries as well?
Clement, let me start with the market share and the cost flexibility. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
On the market share side, I think Brazil is an example where we are already an established player, and I think a market share up to 50% we don't have in China. It would be good to have in China, but that Brazil is a very special case. I think it's important in Brazil that you're working with some important system partners together, and therefore I think it's a unique position which we would like to have in more countries, but that's something we're, you know, it shows that we are already an established player in Brazil, and we can also then benefit from the momentum of new contracts and new orders in the automotive and also in the China industry. But the 50%, I think it's an example which you can't take for the other BRIC countries. On the cost side, break even, I mentioned that we have an EBIT break even of 1 billion to 1.05 billion on the sales side. So that gives you some feelings about the flexibility. On the cost side, we were very careful in our headcount when we were building up the team. As you can see on the one page, that we were growing much more in the low wage countries instead of the high wage countries. It's important that we have the flexibility on various levels.
Okay, I will then go ahead with the further questions concerning visibility. As you already mentioned, the lead times, 3 to 4 months robotics, 9 months systems. For sure, the remaining revenue of the fourth quarter will be carried out of the existing backlog. That's for sure. However, at least from the order side, the fourth quarter orders will almost fully go into next year's revenue recognition. Yeah, already in robotics, you can assume that since September, more or less, that these orders normally go into next year's shipments. And on system side, from the backlog, you have then the POC recognition on the orders which run on a monthly basis. But for sure, the main part of the backlog will turn into revenue next year. Concerning blanket orders, I would distinguish between normally buys for technologies, new product lines. For sure, we have then significant visibility for next year that these investments will occur, although they are not in the backlog, because this is what we mentioned always, that also from frame umbrella contracts from OEMs in the robotics area, we only recognize the order intake when there is the concrete call on this frame contract. So we never book the total frame contract at once. Concerning capacities, I think we are still in a good shape also next year when we look into the OEM investment plans in the robotics industry, but as well as in the body and white. So far, also when you look into the investment plans of the big OEMs, especially in Brazil, there's still some significant investments in the pipeline where we will also contribute from. But blanket orders is nothing special in the next year, so I would say we have some underlying running business in the robotics industry. We can rely on our OEMs that they call a certain volume, and this will also be the case in 2012.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question today comes from Sebastian Hubert of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the time. Just one question on the development in general industry. We have seen now the third consecutive quarter in a row where you've shown declining new orders. Is that a general trend, or what's happening there in the robots business? Thank you.
Well, I can answer, especially when you look into the first quarter, for example, in general industries in the robotics business, which was a very strong general industry. There was a large order from the medical business, and I think we also have made a press release concerning this large order. And so this was really a one-time impact in the first quarter. This could I expect also that we have the same picture next year, because this is normally then when the order will be placed from this significant customer. If you look into the second and third quarter, it looks that there is a little slowdown, but if you look into the total momentum also in the third quarter, which is above 50 million, I would say it's still in a healthy shape, and I would say it would be too early today to say that there is a trend. We have currently, it's interesting enough, in Europe a very solid business in the general industry, also in the difficult countries like Italy and Spain. What we see is currently some lower performance in the U.S., but this is a current situation. If it is an ongoing trend, we will see. However, the overall GI business still is in, that's my opinion, I think, still also agrees, is in a healthy shape yet.
Yeah, I think it's right to say, you know, we are also tracking the weekly orders, and clearly there's no change in trend. We are looking in some industries where, you know, we don't serve one industry in the GI, we serve a bunch of different. Europe and Europe is solid. U.S. is, you know, not as solid as Europe. Potential in the markets like BRIC, but also in this market, you know, it's we still are on the path for our long-term trend to increase to grow GI much faster than automotive. But I think now the development of auto is just came as massive and is still on a very high level. Very positive dynamics in automotive. So GI, we have our path, and we are pushing also our salespeople in the GI market, and we as a management are focusing on GI, and that's a long-term goal.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll take our next question from Jasko Terzic of DZ Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Three questions from my side. First of all, could you remind me of your capacity utilization of each division? Second question is on the gross margin, which is the weakest since 6 quarters. Could you give here more lights on it and what you expect at year-end on group level? And the third one is on your operating leverage in robotics, which is adversely reflected by the more pronounced performance of automotive. So what can we expect in operating leverage in 2012?
Well, concerning capacity utilization, when you look into systems, and I think we have also mentioned this in our disclosure, that we're working at capacity currently in robotics. We also working at capacity. However, this is not really internally now limited. It's more limited from the supply chain. when we see that we move down to roughly 150 robots per week and less in the past, we're currently running then up to 300. So we could do more from the assembly perspective. But it's a supply chain issue, at least what we expect, that we have then also then further relaxing situation and then more potential from the supply chain, especially when we have then more supply from the gear manufacturers, but also we have some issues currently, bottlenecks on the drive side. So this is something what limits us now. However, It's not a situation that currently we lose significant business concerning lead times. And if in the next year further growth is prospected in the robotics, we can also support this growth from our capacity side. When we look into the margin update, as I mentioned before, we have some margin dip currently in the third quarter, mainly due to the shift from revenues from general industries to auto. This was the major reason that we have seen this margin dip in robotics was mainly due to the auto share, and this will be normalized in the fourth quarter. So we see in the fourth quarter that we have a normalized picture from the revenues from the different areas, auto, general industry, and customer service. And therefore, also when we look into the full year margin, we see some slight increase then again from the current 20% and going then a little bit up in the fourth quarter. So this will have then, I would say, a minor impact then in the fourth quarter, and also will normally support then increasing margins again. The next year, in total from automotive, what we see in the robotics side, for sure we have the 5% and 10% margin targets, and especially when we look into robotics in the next year, we expect that we achieve this 10% with also normalized market mix between the different market segments. As Till Reuter mentioned before, we are focusing on general industries, on growth in general industries next year, and this also then the target behind this GI strategy is that especially in the next year, we at least have the same level of general industry business as this year, as share of total in the robotics next year, or even a higher general industry share, which then also supports the remaining margin gap we currently have from the 8.6% in the third quarter to the target margin of 10% in the next year.
Okay, so if I try to figure out the operating leverage, one can assume that it's above 20% in 2012.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe then one follow-up on the capacity utilization. If systems running on full capacity, are there any intentions to expand capacities?
Yeah, maybe this still you can maybe describe this. This is mainly the story we have in the BRIC countries, Brazil and China.
Yeah, I think it's also important to understand that KUKA is a big partner to the automotive industry, so when you establish your branches in China, Brazil, India, or Russia, you mostly go with one of the big customers, which happened years ago, and then you are investing into the region. So I think what we did in China, we are now up in systems, something like 200, 250 people. In Brazil, we are in systems around 150 to 200. So that's exactly where we add capacity in the region.
Okay.
Something where we are on the sales side, on the people expanding capacity, but we're also doing what you already know is that we are also increasing our capacity to build robots in Shanghai. So currently we have a capacity of 1,500 robots to assemble in Shanghai. We're going to ramp up this capacity to up to 5,000 to be really to either go to the 15,000 in Germany or to use the 5,000 in China, so we can play with both capacities to be flexible and also to have shorter delivery times and don't have the transportation stuff and logistics.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from Achim Henke of West LB. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Two remaining questions. Just continuing with the BRIC expansion and China. I'm quite interested in getting better feeling regarding the Shanghai plant you mentioned, 1,500, upgrade to 5,000 robots. What's the timeline? What are the CapEx plans regarding this issue? And also with Brazil, are there also capacity expansion projects, or are they more focusing on other regions, for example, like India? That's the first part. The second part is, again, a general industry strategy 2012 plus, let's say. We can read in your report that you are present at a lot of international trade fairs. So regarding the strategy, what is or what are your clear targets regarding target industries? What are your targets regarding specific focus industries or regions? And this finally also in terms of financial targets.
Let me start. I think on Shanghai plant, we mentioned that so it's a ramp up of the today's capacity of 1,000 to 1,500 robots to above 5,000. We are planning to do this within 2012, so should be, I think, first in the middle of 2012, maybe a little bit earlier. To ramp it up, we already have it today, so it's only ramping up. Second, I think on the on as mentioned also in a earlier call, it's something in the mid single digit investment. So it's, we don't talk about it's an assembly. It's not it's not something where you should expect some double digits. It's mid single digit as we mentioned, and I think Shanghai is something where we are adding assembly capacity. In all other regions like Brazil or Russia, India. So we are investing in sales guys and in engineers. And here China is in that way an exemption that we have this local capacity to build up people. To assemble robots is a unique case. Yeah. On GI, I think the clear path for us is that we want to grow faster in GI than automotive. Automotive did start in 2010 very sharp with a big growth rate and very stable on a high level. But the path is still, and it's unchanged, that we are pushing GI. To push GI, on the one hand, you need the right products. We have the Quantech. Quantech we have introduced this year in automotive. Quantech next year will go into GI, so that's a clear push that the new machine will be more satisfying for the customer and also to allow new markets. We are at trade fairs. We are a lot of trade fairs because you have to present your products and your engineering know-how. So clearly one way is that the sales team is motivated, has a clear also a motivation and incentive to go for GI. So we have also our incentive system changed that people are paid if they not only doing order intake, but also on the margin side. So that's something where GI got a push. But it's a story not for 1 or 2 years. It's a trend where KUKA is coming from automotive. So if you look back, yes, the automotive share was much bigger. And our target, Stefan, my target is clearly to have a higher growth in GI. We were mentioning that we last year think we want to have a growth in GI, which is double the growth in automotive. Now by automotive picking up that fast is clearly not possible, but the clear trend is that the GI business will grow faster than auto in the long term. And maybe on some addition on the model, we are selling most of the robots through system partners, so we're using the leverage of system partners, and clear one way also to focus on the right system partners which have the right leverage to sell your robots in the market.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question today from Stefan Augustin of LBBW. Please go ahead.
Actually, it's Stefan Augustin from Kepler. I have a couple of questions. One is, could you just quickly or comment a little bit on the move of Foxconn announcing that it will eventually ramp up its own robotics production. I would have assumed that the lightweight robot could fit into the needs of Foxconn. What is your assessment why this is not so? Then could you remind us a little bit on where you are in your systems review process? Then on robotics and the margins, we have seen in the third quarter a decline in gross margins in robotics. Nevertheless, EBIT margin went up, so the in-between has been reduced, and this is obviously to a little lower R&D. If we go into the fourth quarter, can we assume that, let's say, the in-between will stay largely the same as it did in 3Q, or are there any changes? And finally, maybe a little bit on systems. You had outlined at the analyst meeting that you have roughly a double-digit million effect from the full-year effect of the cost savings in systems being in place. Now you have roughly 140 million more sales in 2011 compared to 2010. And if I just take those 12 millions or so from the cost savings, that would from that I would have to assume that the additional sales is not contributing to earnings. And I'm a little bit puzzled because you also say that eventually your pricing is getting a little bit better in the systems projects, and you are more selective, and old weak-priced orders should run out by now somehow. Do you comment a little bit on that too? Thank you.
Let me start on the the first two questions, and maybe also on the pricing. I think what Foxconn is mentioning is that they might go in the doing their own robots. I think it's most important where is it coming from. I think Foxconn was in the press in summer when they were talking about they want to buy 1 million robots. I think it's clearly that's most of the reactions from Foxconn also that they clearly have the increasing wages in China. So I think it's one way that they either do it with a partner or do it on their own. But I think it's clearly the clear trend is that automation in the countries like China will further grow at a very high pace, and therefore I think it's clear it could be opportunities, and we're also clear in contact with them. But the question is really what's coming out of it. It's no clear way today what Foxconn is going to do. However, I think it's clearly also a reaction they have. I think they have over 1 million employees in China. To be prepared for the future. On a systems review, as mentioned also in earlier calls, we are screening opportunities, and we are the opportunities in the interest of whole Kuka and systems, and this process ongoing, but it's nothing, no update on this side.
Do we get any idea when you probably are finished with the review process? Do you expect this to?
Stefan, I made clear that we in summer that we have a screening process, which is something we see for the 12 to 18 months. So that was the time frame we gave for the screening. So I think we are within the screening. So it's it would be too early to give you any indication on timing.
Well, let me continue with the further questions you asked about the robotics margins, gross margins, and EBIT was up. What was the reason for it? There are two issues that recovered, and the margin dip, which was due to the market mix, as I mentioned before. We had some positive FX impact in the robotics in the third quarter, and also what you have mentioned, what you have assumed, some lower R&D costs, but the reason is not that we have slowed down the R&D. We have higher capitalization now, especially in lightweight robot, which has now an IFRS achieved, and the milestone which forces you in IFRS to capitalize. So you can say that roughly half of the recovery of the lower margin which was boosted and back the EBIT margin to the 8.6% was half, was accompanied by lower R&D costs thanks to higher capitalization, and also then currency, positive currency impact in the third quarter. Going forward in the fourth quarter, as we mentioned before, we expect a normalized market mix again. This would also then lead back to a normalized margin picture, as you have seen in the second quarter. And we normally expect some lower R&D costs compared to the second quarter due to this capitalization impact. This is normally then the way to the 10%, where we always mention our target is to achieve the 10% at least once in one quarter in 2011. And if things work as expected, as I described, normally we should see then the 10 in the fourth quarter if nothing special happens here. Concerning the system savings, it's correct that we have had the cost savings projects. Important is for you that the project runs over both divisions. In systems, what for sure is an issue that currently we have to consider is that especially the orders in the BRIC countries, we have this significant growth in the business which is higher than expected, and currently we have to fuel the growth with capacities from the high-cost countries like the US and Europe. This means that currently some orders in the BRIC area do not have the margin potential they normally would have if the added value comes from the region as intended. So currently we have to help in this area with high-cost country work from US and Europe, and this gives a little bit lower margin potential into these orders. However, for sure the 5% target maintains, and the price quality of the new orders is better, but I'm pretty sure that also in the fourth quarter we will see the first significant improvement here, since we have then also the closing of existing orders. You normally can release then the remaining risks because you have finished the order, and from the next year on normally systems should then work in its target margin area of the 5%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
And our next question today comes from Ankur Agarwal of HSBC. Please go ahead. Thanks, gentlemen.
My question is on the cash flow momentum for next year, and given the growth in sales and probably higher capex in the BRIC countries, where do you see the free cash flow going from here? You've mentioned it will be positive for this year, but just wanted to get more feeling on how things may turn up for next year. So just some broad comments on that, please.
Well, in the general market from our side, view on the market.
No, I thought it was a capex question, on you.
My question is on the cash flow momentum for next year, free cash flow.
Well, what you normally can see for next year is that on the capex, on the free cash flow momentum this year, the free cash flow is significantly burdened by supporting the growth in the working capital. Then we see in 2012, depends what will be the real case in 2012. We currently expect a growth on a lower level in this year. This normally should also then turn out that there is no significant working capital investment necessary, which was the case this year. Yeah, you can expect some 60 to 70 million this year were necessary from the free cash flow, from the cash earnings to support the working capital investments. This normally should be an impact we do not see next year. So this will be released from this year's cash flow in the next year. However, in the capex, as Tilroy mentioned, we have some things here, some projects we are going ahead with in the next year. This is especially the project with robotics in Shanghai, in China, and also then some investments in the other BRIC countries like Brazil and India, where we want to further increase our footprint. So I would say from today's expectation, there could be, if the market conditions stay at the same momentum as they are today, investment increase from today's 25 to 30. This is what we see for this year. Next year, maybe it could move closely to 40 million to support this growth, and therefore you would say from today's cash flow perspective you have release of 60 million in the working capital, but you have to add back some 15 to 20 for higher capex, and this would bring us to a free cash flow potentially next year maybe in the range of 30 to 40 million.
Right, understand. My second question is on your cash position. You continue to maintain a decently high cash position on your balance sheet. So are you comfortable carrying the cash, like that, or is there any use of cash, probably buying back of bonds or any other use that you intend to employ your cash for?
Well, it's the one question I can answer quite quickly. So the comfortable cash position will change today because we'll pay back the convertible. So you can deduct already some 54 million from the current cash position in the third quarter report. This will be changed. Then also what we have said in our conference when we issued the new bond, we want to have strategic positions in our cash for M&A activities, so if there is an option that we are capable to proceed with such options. This is one item, and the other item is that we said for a special situation, special orders, especially in general industry, we want to be capable to pre-finance also then such large orders, and some 40 to 50 millions you only can deduct from the cash position, at least virtually, which is then for us a reserve to continue with such options if they appear. And therefore, if you consider the 54 millions going out for the bond, for the convertible bond this today, and also then reserve some 50 millions for the strategic flexibility, then I would say it's quite in range with normalized cash positions you should keep in your balance sheet.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question today from Stephen Boehm of Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My questions have largely already been answered. Just an additional on your R&D. Do you intend to increase your R&D expenses in 2012 over 2011? And maybe you could also comment on both your expensed R&D and capitalized R&D plannings. Thank you.
Well, for sure, based on the growth, we also will further increase our activities in the R&D area. In 2012, we expect also then a further increase in the R&D activities, but normally it should not be the case that you see it all in the P&L, but you should see it then more in the capitalized R&D in the next year. If you look into the capitalized R&D, what is then normally the ratio, what we capitalize and what not? It's quite simple. If you look into the cash flow statement, I think that we have a separate line for the intangible assets. And the intangible assets, let me, maybe Andreas can double check. I think we have a separate line for it, because this is mainly, the intangible assets is mainly the capitalized R&D. Can you check if we have the line?
Yeah, we have it.
Intangibles. Yeah? If in the cash flow statement, the payments for capital expenditure on intangible assets, this is mainly R&D. And for next year, we see some further increase in the R&D activities, especially also in the capitalization. This year, maybe this runs close to 10, and next year, today, potentially, I would say, is then more in the range of up to 15 capitalized R&D. But it's today too early because the budgeting process is currently running, but at least my expectation today is that we also see some further raising activities in R&D, which you mainly will see next year more in the capitalization than in the expenses in the P&L.
Okay, thank you.
That will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back to our speaker today for any closing or additional remarks he may wish to make.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much for your questions. If you have further questions, please contact us, and for this, we let it be, and have a great afternoon. Thank you.